Well, welcome to the Czech blog, everybody. I'm excited to be back. We have our good friend Jator Pierre here today. We're going to be having a conversation with Jator about something that you may not have heard of. It's called the HPA axis. And I didn't feel like I'm getting cue cards or like the producer is off, you know, giving me signals or something.
You said you may not have heard of, so I pointed to my
Right. Well, it's something that I hadn't heard of until I spoke to you, and you've mentioned it a few times, once or twice in your writing, and I think in a few of our other videos. It's called the HPA axis.
Axis.
Like the axis of evil.
Yes, it is the axis of evil. A-I-S-E-V-I-L.
Yes, it could be. And my understanding, this is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis.
Yes, it's quite... we're going to add two more things to that today.
Oh, no. Well, as long as they get shoved into the acronym, right? Because trying to say hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis is really hard. It's really hard. So I appreciate just calling it HPA.
Yes, I do as well.
But I'm starting to get the feel from talking to Jator, and if you look at look the HPA axis up online, you'll start to see this is really becoming very important, centrally important to our health. And so I wanted to talk to Jator about this because I know Jator kind of has his finger on the pulse, understands what this is, and hopefully he can kind of clear it up for us and maybe talk to us about what it is, why it's important, and hopefully offer a little bit of practical suggestions about how to take care of this. So thanks for being here today, Jator.
I appreciate having me, James. I really enjoy these. Enjoy the banter most of all.
And I know our audience just loves it, too.
I would imagine the audience is like, can this dude, Jator, get serious for once? I'm like, it's not happening.
You just have to give it a little, be a little patient. And all the good stuff happens.
Yes. And I think the purpose with sharing this, from my perspective, is I think, you know, this video, maybe we can kind of give this overview.
Right.
And then in continuing videos, we can dive into the more technical aspects of it from like a hormonal perspective or a neuronal perspective, etc. But why, you know, from my perspective, why it's really important is that if you do a PubMed search and you look up adrenal fatigue, you won't get much hits. I think last time I checked, somewhere around 2 hits, which is really fascinating because in the alternative health world, adrenal fatigue is nomenclature. Like that is what we call it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when you're dealing with allopathic medicine, MDs, when you're dealing with NDs or people that are kind of well-versed in research and you're working hand-in-hand with them, it may behoove you and your practice to learn the language that they're speaking. It's one way I've experienced to gain some level of, acknowledgement that they have a feeling that I know what I'm talking about and are willing to refer people to me. So when we looked at adrenal fatigue, essentially adrenal fatigue is a placeholder for HPA axis, or the longer version, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid gonadal axis. And all of those things work in conjunction with each other, mainly stemming from the beginning spot, the hypothalamus, and potentially through our perception of reality and what we experience as being what we experience through our outside reality, and that's taken through the prefrontal cortex into the hypothalamus, and that then cascades down the rest of the chain. So why is that important? Well, the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, gonadal axis, when you look at each of those parts, they're very important, and they're they have roots into almost every single cell and almost every single tissue in the body. There's very few cells and or tissues in the body that aren't affected by this axis, which from the hypothalamus, pituitary, or on down. So we're looking at hormonal effect, we're looking at neurotransmitter effect, we're looking at gut health, we're looking at the potential effects on the microbiome, we're looking at gut hyperpermeability, we're looking at, from there, chronic disease, chronic pain, instability, autoimmune issues, obesity, diabetes, blood sugar regulation, etc. And why that's so important is to understand is that the HPA axis has its roots in blood sugar regulation, the immune system, and inflammatory processes. If you take those three things, every disease and every dysfunction, every symptom, you could basically find roots to all of that in somewhere in those three things, whether it's blood sugar dysregulation, whether it's inflammatory processes. And what was the first one I said?
Blood sugar in inflammatory processes and, oh dear.
Immune system. Immune system. James?
Right, right.
That's how I check to see if you're listening or you just checked out, man.
No, when you start to talk about it, this is what happens in our conversations. You say something that makes me think, and then I start to think, and then you're 10 miles ahead of me. But anyway, so we're back on page. We're back on
track. Yeah, we're back on page, right?
Yeah.
So that system fits into what we've talked about in previous interviews, the exposome, right? Our environment. And what's fascinating when we talked about our environment and the exosome being all genetic, all non-genetic influences from the moment of conception, is that your HPA axis is honed and tuned potentially at the moment of conception and in utero, which is really fascinating. So, well, why is that important to know? Well, it's important to know in the context of what if your mom was highly stressed out when you were in utero. And you're getting all of her hormonal cascades and her adrenaline and noradrenaline and her cortisol, and that's speeding you up. That can actually tone and tune your HPA axis for the rest of your life. That can actually cause an HPA axis that is highly facilitated and maybe even create a system that you have a very low stress resilience or low tolerance to stressors in your life.
So it almost sort of primes you to have like a hair trigger response to stresses.
Totally. And when you kind of look at this system, the hypothalamus is kind of like the control center for the rest of it, right? You're having you wake up and you're having your routine and you're walking around and you're having, you know, kind of predictable experiences, which aren't very stressful. But then you're having unpredictable experiences, which are stressful. So the unpredictability is part of what causes the stress response in us. And when we look back into a utero perspective, that person that's been tuned to be hyper aware of that, they'll have a larger reaction potentially with unpredictability. Whereas somebody who had maybe a very, let's just use an example of they had a calm, meditative mother. And I'm not saying that's better or worse. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, let's just look at that from the HPA axis perspective. What if that tunes it to be kind of calmed and balanced between the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system? Okay, so we have this exposome. We have this HPA axis or HPATG axis. And then if you take that HPATG axis and then you put at the end of there a D, then what we're looking at is dysregulation. So when that system becomes dysregulated, and that's starting at the hypothalamus, the cascade from there down into the pituitary and the hormones that the pituitary shares, into the adrenals, into the gonads, and into the thyroid, that starts to cause dysregulation globally. So you have global dysregulation and inflammation potentially happening at the hypothalamus, down to the pituitary. Thyroid hormones start to become dysregulated. We all are quite, we'll get into this more in later videos, but quite aware of how disruptive that can be, going hypo, going hyper. a lot of people these days going toward the hypo because we're moving too fast, doing too much, not resting, living in modern society, breathing in all of these toxins, and not honoring the system, right? And then you got the adrenals and what they pump out, and we got cortisol, norepinephrine, epinephrine, DHEA, etc. And as that becomes dysregulated, the whole system becomes awry. So why, you know, why is that important other than looking at it from a disease and symptom perspective? Looking at it from more so a coaching perspective, whether the person has chronic pain or chronic dysfunction in the skeletal system or the muscular system or a chronic disease or autoimmune disease, is that as we're addressing these things, if we're looking at addressing the musculoskeletal system alone, well, we're not really going to be fully addressing the HPA axis. Will we reduce the stress load on the HPA axis by balancing posture and working on respiratory mechanics? For sure. Is that going to bring down stress a bit? Yes. However, what are the other pieces of this pie that dysregulate HPA axis? Well, James, I'm glad you asked. Your dysregulation of sleep has a huge effect on HPA access. So staying up late, very late at night, sleeping in, not living close to the rise and fall of the sun as we can get, artificial lighting, real sunlight also has an effect on the HPA access and tunes the circadian rhythms. The foods that we eat, are we eating highly processed, potentially pro-inflammatory foods that dysregulates the HPA axis? Do we have a gut infection? Do we have a parasite infection? Do we have a fungal infection? Do we have leaky gut? All of those things can dysregulate HPA axis. Back to our Batman video that we shot, you know, then pulling into the mental and emotional aspects of us. Not simply how we navigate the outside world, but what if we looked at how we navigate the outside world is a mirror for how we navigate the inside world. So if you look at, wow, how critical am I of others? How judgmentally critical am I of others? And if you take a pause with that and say, I wonder if I'm that judgmental and critical of myself. And if that answer comes back as a yes, which in my experience quite frequently it does, then that's also a stressor that's being loaded onto the system. So you have this HPA axis, and as an umbrella above the HPA axis, you have something that's called allostasis. So allostasis is basically how the body manages stresses throughout the day and the evening, and its ability to keep it in balance and keep the whole body in harmony. It's similar to homeostasis. It's just slightly more technical toward this system. So it's how basically the body can navigate everything that's coming in, how it deals with it, and can it keep the body in a balanced state? And then you have, so you have the allostasis, and then you have allostatic load, and the allostatic load is where all these things that are loading our systems, right? Food, sleep, movement, posture, infection, mental emotional state, and all of those start to cause a load on allostasis. And when that load overrides or becomes higher than our body can balance out and compensate for, that's where disease, dysfunction, and then symptoms start to come into play. And this is missed quite frequently, because to deal with the HPA axis, fortunately or unfortunately, the person that you're working with and or yourself, the requirement with this is actually behavior change, awareness, willingness to change, willingness and curiosity to question, and diving into yourself, because The internal world is your mental and emotional space, and that is the world that creates your behavior patterns. And if your behavior patterns are driving the HPA axis dysregulation, I don't care what supplement, what test, what you do, you're not going to out-supplement the system.
Yeah.
You're not going to out-supplement adrenal fatigue. It's not going to happen. What you may do is crutch adrenal fatigue and keep the person going, which is actually causing more allostatic load on the system, because the system is really amazingly designed to protect you so that you can survive. And we don't, at least in my experience, we're, because of where society is now with technology, the speed of information, the speed that things happen, many of us are mainly celebrated for what we do, what we produce, how much we get done, how much money we make, how many houses we have, and on and on and on. That is creating a society of people, in my experience, that rest is not celebrated. And so if rest isn't celebrated, to use one of Paul's ideas, which I really love, is there is a fourth doctor. The fifth doctor, I'm sorry, and I'm not sorry. The fifth doctor is Dr. Pain. Or Dr. Dysfunction, or Dr. Symptom, or Dr. Blown Knee, or Dr. Blown Back. And I find it really interesting how that is kind of just moved to the side, because in our society, we're only celebrated, at least in my experience, because we perform. So then when you're working with someone and or dealing with this yourself, and you're looking at, well, how do I help this person help themselves to deal and heal the HPA axis? First, I got to look at myself and take a moment and say, well, is my HPA axis dysregulated? What's my sleep like? What's my nutrition like? What's my gut like? What's my movement like? What's my work in like? What's my mental and emotional state like? What's my experience of myself like? Because if you're at work promoting mindfulness and awareness, but you're frazzled and stressed and bouncing off the walls, or you're so frazzled and stressed that you're dead, very, very low energy, you're essentially doing something that's called double messaging. You're promoting someone else does something that you yourself don't have the experience of addressing. And it essentially becomes like the blind leading the blind, rather than two seers helping each other to move forward together. And it's why the HPA access is very hard to address, is because that does take a deep dive into the behavior patterns of the person.
So let me see if I understand this. I mean, this is sort of how, from what you said, how I'm thinking of it, right? So if you think of hormones as sort of messengers, right? The whole HPATG axis, right, is this whole connected group of, well, set hormonal centers, right? They generate the hormones. And so if those get dysregulated, then the messengers that they're creating, the hormones, are sending the wrong messages, telling our bodies to function in ways that aren't healthy. And so, as you said, these are pretty much all of the major organs that generate hormones in our bodies. So they're going to, as you said, the immune system, metabolism, all of these sorts of things. Your sex hormones, all of those are part of this whole axis. And so, having those be out of whack and sending the wrong messages at the wrong time is, it's an opportunity for all sorts of chronic illness and disease.
Yeah, and I think what you shared, that perspective, I hope that lands in a lot of people's laps, because if you think about how important hormones are as messengers, or neurotransmitters are as messengers, or inflammatory cytokines are as messengers. Are we turning up inflammation? Are we turning it down? Are we healing? Mm-hmm. Are we overly inflamed? Are we not? I think that is really easy then to see, like, oh, wow, okay, well, if that's all out of balance, well, then it makes sense that my body is going to be out of balance in some way and lead to some form of disease, right? Dis-ease of the body.
Mm.
And lead into dysfunction and lead into symptoms.
Yeah.
And it's underappreciated how important this is, at least from my perspective. And or it is vastly appreciated, but people in general are either afraid to go there themselves and or afraid because they haven't gone there to help others go there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, and this is too, once you start to see that these are all connected in a way, you also start to see why purely going the route of supplementation in the long run is not going to be a winning strategy for you, right? I mean, if we go back to Batman, right? So Batman experienced this horrible traumatic event as a child, and now he sees villains everywhere, right? Talk about being primed to be stressed, right? I mean, so he's got this sort of stresses running throughout his life, and this is not going to be solved by taking a little, I don't know, whatever, the, you know, probiotics, right? I mean, it's because of these are all related, you can imagine, or I guess this is the question, right? Is there a sort of cascading process in the sense that if I take one supplement, that might mask one symptom, but the more I continue to experience these stresses that are really what's sort of making my HPA access go haywire, the more problems, the more things that are going to continue to crop up. And so one kind of supplementation is never going to be the solution here.
I would wholeheartedly agree. And I literally, about an hour ago, had a session with a client and we were talking about this exact topic. And I gave the analogy of, okay, let's imagine that you have a POW, a prisoner of war, and we have them in prison, and we're giving them the best food. This is a made-up imaginary POW, right? We're giving them best food, best source food, best water, they're getting sleep, they're getting movement, they're allowed to read, they're allowed to work in, all of these things that are really balancing to the body. Right? So they have all of that in place. But they're in a prison. They don't have a lot of community. They don't have a lot of play and pleasure. So there's other things we've talked about in terms of peppers. But the main thing is that we're going to add into this that I am here to create unpredictability in this person's life. So one day I'll come in, and I'll bring them steak and eggs and a cigarette. They love cigarettes, so I'll bring that. The next day I'll come in, bring them good food, but burn them with a cigarette. The next day I come in and give them a massage. The next day I come in, I bring them a full course dinner and another massage. The next day I come in, I beat the hell out of them. What am I doing? I'm creating a very unpredictable environment. So the point that I'm making here is that doing all of these things that we're doing, whether it's supplements or drinking water, high-level nutrition, etc., those are all helpful, extremely helpful to lowering the stress load, or lowering the physiological load, and or lowering the allostatic load. However, if the person's perception of reality is extremely fear-based and or HPA access is still dysregulated and their environment is extremely unpredictable to them because they're not doing awareness practices. They're not turning off their phone and relaxing at night. They're not turn off the TV and not watching the news. That creates all this unpredictability within the person. And that is enough to just say, okay, well, great, you're doing all these other things, but your HPA access is still going to be extremely dysregulated. And there's an acronym, and it's called NUTS, which I really appreciate. And it's based on like how the body and human beings interpret stressful events. So it's novelty of event, unpredictability of event, threat to body or ego, mm-hmm. and a loss, a perceived loss of sense of control. Mm. Think about modern society. That is, a lot of us are, in, from a physiological perspective, in a nuts environment. Mm. It's continually outside of what our physiology can handle or what was designed to handle from a stress perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're having this constant stress responses, mm. which from an ancestral lens were designed to happen in mm. you know, just little boots. Like, it's amazing. It's a beautiful system. Mm. Fight or flight system is amazing because it's so we can survive. Mm. But as we've moved out of survival, and now we're having these low-level bouts every few minutes mm. of this stress response, that's causing this chronic dysregulation of HPA access, which we'll get into future videos of what mm. that does to the access and what that does at a cellular level that starts to cause all of this disruption and dysfunction. Mm. A lot of Czech practitioners, in my experience, get people who come to them with, you know, a blown disc or SI joint issues or a blown knee, and the healing process of that is going to happen at a much faster rate and probably even at a much a deeper rate in terms of the rebuilding of the tissue if you're honoring the HPA access. Mm-hmm. And what I really enjoy about you know, the six principles and the four doctors is that that system is essentially designed to reduce HPA access load.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Each thing that's in there is designed to reduce physiological load, which then in turn helps to reduce inflammation and helps to reduce inflammation of the hypothalamus, of the pituitary, of the thyroid, of mm. the adrenals, of the gonadals, mm. which helps to start to balance the system. Mm. And I think that for me is one of the most beautiful parts of the Czech Institute is that there's some extremely simple things that can be done. However, those simple things are quite often skipped over. Mm. And I think that's a beautiful opportunity for health coaches or practitioners is to look at what other people are skipping over and make that your business. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I do for a living, is I look where people are skipping. That's my business. That's what I'm going after. Mm. Because that, for me, that skipping is only going to lead to, you know, short-term change.
Yeah.
And who are most of my clients? Most of my clients are people who have seen many, 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 many people. And I just look at the thread of, okay, what's been skipped here? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. A daily walk has been skipped here yeah. in nature. Yeah. A stand-up desk has been skipped here. Mm. Good, clean water has been skipped here. Yeah. Helping people learn about the benefits of sleep and regeneration has been skipped here. Mm. Mindfulness and breath and slowing down and being present with yourself has been skipped here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's brilliant. I like the way that you put that, right? That your job is to find out where people have been skipping and bring them back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's smart. That's smart. Well, good. I mean, this, I think this gives us a really good picture now of the generalities, you know, what the HPA axis is. And I think, you know, if you've been following, you as our viewers have been following our interviews, our conversations here all along, I think it'd be, now you can start to see, well, if you go back to them and mm-hmm. listen to what we've been talking about along, you know, some of the answer of, you know, well, how to treat that HPA access right is in those other videos.
Yeah. I do want to, I'm going to jump on, I know you're going to get to the practical Jator bring.
As I'm heading that direction right now.
So I got them prepared already. Good. In my head.
All right.
And I'm going to share ones that there's a lot of stuff out there that you can do for stress. Mm. And HPA access load. Mm-hmm. But I do want to share a fascinating client experience. That I have a client that has high blood pressure mm-hmm. and has implemented all of the things that we've talked about in all of these videos. And even we've dove into functional medicine and testing and supplementation after all these things were in place. And fascinatingly enough, blood pressure still wasn't coming down.
Mm.
And we had turned over pretty much every stone that I know. And I was kind of at a loss.
Mm.
And what was really fascinating, I thought, okay, let me do this. I wonder if my client has the experience of what it feels like to be in a calm state.
Mm.
And what does that mean for me? Well, not just meditating, because not just meditating, not just taking a nice walk, but doing that and actually feeling what physiology feels like when you're calm and balanced.
Mm.
And I thought, well, how am I going to help him have that experience? And then because my experience of him, a part of him is quite linear and logical, how do I give him something as a feedback mechanism so he can see it? And then as he drops into that space, he can look and get the direct feedback from the objective reader. And then he can associate the objectivity with the feeling in his body. And then he doesn't need that anymore. Eventually, he knows when he's in that zone.
Yeah.
So the trick was this thing from HeartMath, which is a stress meter and breathing with HeartMath.
Mm.
And James, this is freaking amazing to me. So when he would do the heart math, his blood pressure would drop down to completely normal, 120 over 8.
Wow.
Completely normal. Within a few minutes of getting off of it, slowly start to creep back up.
Mm.
Get back on it, bring it back down. So what does that mean for me? What it means for me is that he had done all of this stuff that we had done together, but he still, at the physiological level, he still had a facilitated pathway in the body of having this high pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had to then take it out of just the mental and emotional and bring it into his physical and retrain that pathway. And that's what we're doing right now with this system.
Mm-hmm.
So he can start to honor that and re-educate the body itself.
Yeah.
That is awesome to me.
Yeah.
It's so, so cool. And it also speaks volumes when we looked at like the timing of it. When he was going to certain places or coming from certain places, blood pressure was going up. So then we started to then dive into mental and emotional stuff around, wow, what does home represent to you? What does work represent to you? What do you do for a living represent to you? And so we can start to dive into all of these underneath bellies that are creating the high blood pressure and creating the dysregulation of all of the underlying mechanisms that we could go look at, but they're driven by the mental and emotional state.
Mm.
Wow. That was a long-winded share of something I think is really cool.
Yeah. So briefly, what was this heart math sort of system that you
had? It's called the heart math O-meter, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to HeartMath. You can plug it right into your phone, and you wear a biofeedback on your ear, and then it takes you through some exercises to bring down your stress levels, which high cortisol and is directly related to high blood pressure, at least associated.
Mm-hmm.
So this HeartMath, I think it's called HeartMath Healthometer.
Mm.
So I think that's huge, one thing. The other thing that I've noticed in my own life that causes stress. So on my cell phone, I have a smartphone.
Mm.
I've made my smartphone into a dumb phone.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that when I go into my settings, I've gone to my settings and I've looked under cellular, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get charged for cellular data unless you're on Wi-Fi. Most people know that. So I've gone into cellular and I've turned off all of the distracting BS that is on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook, YouTube, email, all of that stuff is off of cellular.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means I can't look at it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can only look at it when I'm connected to Wi-Fi. I'm not often connected to Wi-Fi. So what that does is reduce my amount of the phone being my crack, essentially, and always wanting to check it. That is actually what I started to notice, is that my phone's sounds, dings, signs, and lighting up was actually causing a stress response in me.
Yeah.
So the other thing I do with my phone is I turned off all notifications.
Mm.
So my phone doesn't light up when I get a text, doesn't light up when I get a call. Everything is turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have this constant distraction in my life that takes me away from doing the things I really want to focus on. Because if you look at some of the research, multitasking is BS.
Mm.
So that has reduced a ton of stress. And then with my phone as well, what I've done is there's a setting on there that you can turn it to do not disturb mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be set automatic. So I set my do not disturb mode at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
all the way to 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't go off at all. And I only check it. Maybe I don't check it before I go to bed.
Mm.
I'll check it when I go wake up to see, okay, if clients canceled, etc.
Mm.
But I've noticed that a huge stressor in my life is my cell phone.
Yeah.
And disconnecting from that, disconnecting from what I've noticed about something on Facebook. I go into Facebook and I just post things and get off.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed on Facebook, it's a free-for-all for argument.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all to spew your opinion, which is fine. We're all entitled to our opinion. But those opinions start to cause argument. And if you get drawn into an argument on Facebook or some other social media, that is a stressor.
Yeah.
You're having to feel all of your heat, anger, resentment, whatever you're feeling about this person's opinion, you have to feel that first. And then put your hands on the typewriter and type it out.
Yeah.
So I've taken that out of my life. Because I'm like, well, it never was in my life. I just noticed it.
Mm.
So those two things have been, I mean, game changers. And then from an unconscious kind of physiological perspective, I have not read any research on this. So this is just a tour's take. Is not texting and driving. Now, I'm not trying to be everybody's parent here, because if you get into a car accident, texting and driving, yay for you. What I am saying is that at a physiological survival level is extremely stressful. Driving's already a stressful thing, even though we're used to it. It's extremely dangerous to the human body and to our physiology. It's very unpredictable, right? So we've got unpredictability. And then you add in looking down at the phone and texting and doing whatever else you're doing.
Yeah.
At an unconscious level, that is going to shoot stress through the roof.
Yeah.
Because a part of you knows that at any moment you could look up and there is a red car, a red light.
Yeah.
Red tail lights or a truck coming.
Yeah.
It's another stressor. So I've been practicing, which is taking me practice, putting my phone on either an airplane or on silent and putting in the glove compartment to reduce stress. And wow, drive around and breathe and get some fresh air. And oh my God, there's birds out here and trees and there's other human beings.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're right. Almost everybody has a smartphone now. And my experience is that if you have your smartphone with you, it's like, it is like bringing all sorts of stresses with you, carrying it. Because anybody can get in touch with you at any time. We feel compelled now. Work calls us at all hours or texts us, right? So you wake up to texts from work or emails from work. So it's really a way of carrying your stresses with you in a digital format and lets them sort of tap you on the shoulder all the
constantly.
Time. That's right. So it's like, in a way, it's like this torture that you have to, you know, find a way to disconnect from. And certainly there's nice benefits to having a phone, a cell phone or a smartphone, but carrying your stresses with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is not one of them.
Right. And what I noticed was that I was associating the ping, the ding, the messages letting me know.
Yeah.
I started to associate those with stressful texts and stressful emails.
Yeah.
So I no longer knew
what
was coming through, but when I heard the sound,
yeah,
I would get a stress response.
Yeah, I mean, even more interesting, right? I don't know if you had this experience yourself, but if you're out somewhere in public, right? Especially since, most iPhones have the same default tones, right? You're out in a grocery store and somebody's iPhone pings and everybody, perks up and is, checking their phone, and so it's not even your own phone that primes you into this state of work is calling, right? But it's other people's phones as well. So it's, you get this all these different sources of stresses, not only from yours, but from other people around you.
And that's where, for me, the idea that I learned, one of the ideas I learned at Vipassana meditation, was to notice your reactive behavior. So when you're in that space and you hear a cell phone go off, notice that you have a reactive behavior to pick it up and look at it. And instead of doing that, which is fine, the next time, just hear it and don't just scratch the itch. Give yourself a moment and take some, do I need to really answer this right now? And take a breath and relax. And society is moving faster and faster and faster. I mean, this is, we've talked about this before, but this is where all this biohacking stuff is coming in. Oh, you should be moving at the speed of light, and you should feel like dancing all the time when you wake up. Are you kidding me? I know that feels real good, but the system, we're not machines. We have to rest. We have to honor the system. And finding ways to biohack the system so that we don't have to rest, I'm being a little critical right now, is we're playing some interesting games right now, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what the long-term effects are of, wanting to feel like you're high all the time so you can get stuff done.
So if you take it back to a more general sort of level, part of the suggestion, or the suggestion is, in some ways, is to find the sort of unnecessary sources. I mean, not that any of them are particularly necessary, but the simpler and unnecessary sources of stress in your life, right? Like the chimes on your phone and when it's active and those sorts of things.
Maybe arguments that aren't that necessary. Taking a moment before diving into an argument, taking a step back and asking yourself, wow, what's going on right now with me? How am I feeling about this situation? Why do I feel defensive? Why do I feel proving? Why do I feel argumentative? You just take that moment and take a step back. You can still engage in it, but you're going to engage in it in a very different way if you relax the reactive system. And what's fascinating to me about this system is that once a person is in that stress state, there's a beauty to that. The beauty to that from a survival perspective is that it made us extremely myopic and focused. So we could focus on fighting or surviving. But when we take that laminate and we look at us as human beings, as mental and emotional beings, that hyper focus is the pathway of doing what we've always done and facilitating old pathways. But if we take a step back, we can widen our lens and make a different choice and come at situations in a different way, which, in my perspective and in my personal life, has created more peaceful fights. Do I still have tension? Do I still have fights? Do I still have arguments? Do I still have that? For sure. Am I willing to move in a different way and not use so much shame and blame of the other person and learn to acknowledge what they're saying and where they're coming from? I am, most of the time. However, I couldn't do that unless I took a step back for a moment and relaxed into it and then came at it a different way.
That all that's great. So shut down your phones. It's good for your hormones.
I like it. The other thing too is like batching your email. So check email, Facebook, Instagram, set it to 3 times a day. That those are the 3 times a day you check that. Outside of those times, you don't check those things, and then you focus on other things. Then you don't have the constant inbox mail. I got to respond. Oh no, this email, that email, which causes a lot of unnecessary stress.
Yeah. And turns out not to be particularly productive, right? I mean, if you stop whatever you're doing every single time an email comes into your inbox and then reply to it, you end up, you know, you end up stalling out any project that you're working on at the time. So
completely, yeah. Completely.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. Yeah, find out where these stresses are and try to put a stop to them. Yeah, yeah.
And I want to be clear that I'm not saying that you can't move fast and you can't do things fast. Mm. What I'm saying is, we all know I love snails, so mm-hmm. snail is a metaphor. But there's also the snail, Turbo the snail from the Pixar movie, mm-hmm. and Turbo's a race car who's a snail.
Yeah.
Now, what that metaphor for me means is that can you be present and aware with yourself as you're moving fast rather than being unaware and reactive as you're moving fast? That for me is the main difference. Yeah.
Turbo the snail. Great.
Turbo the snail. I like characters, man.
So we know. That's because you're a character, Jitori.
That's
so.
Right. Someone sent me an email said, do you want me to sew you a superhero costume for your videos? And I said, I already have a superhero costume. And she said, what is it? I said, it's my glasses and hat.
Nice. Yeah, a cape might be a nice thing, though. You could do a cape, Jitori.
I'll wear the cape next time.
Excellent. Well, that's great, Jitori. This is a really good primer, and I hope everybody who watched and listened gets a sense for why this HPA TG access with a D is really, it's important stuff to know about, and so I think, you know, this obviously is pretty complicated, and so we're going to talk, I hope, about this in some depth, and maybe we can talk about each of those components, you know, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, or as you know, as you said, the thyroid is getting a lot of attention lately. And probably rightly so, again, for metabolism and all these other sorts of things. So we'll sort of hop into those and talk about those. But this was a great primer, so thanks so much, Jitori.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed. And if you didn't...
Well, Jitori's going to wear a cape next time, so you tune back in and that'll make you enjoy it that time. But I do, and I invite you, you know, please subscribe below if you like this video, because there, you know, we're going to produce a lot more of these, and there's other great videos on our channel as well. So love to have you join us and subscribe, and you'll get notification when we add our videos in the future. So awesome. Thanks for Jitori, and we'll talk again soon.
All